let you guys know that we are coming to you live. We are trying to see all of you whores. We are coming to you live here in New York City. We have a live show December 1st.
It's a Friday, so, you know, come after work. Try to wear something a little bit skanky. And, yeah, we are really excited to see you guys. It's going to be in the Lower East Side of New York City, 72 Allen Street. It's a place called Projective Space. Doors open at 7. The show starts promptly at 8 for you CPTS.
We is not going to be late, y'all.
It's
so
hosted by Sam Whiteout, who you bitches live.
And we're excited about it. I think it's going to be great. You guys can meet us. We're going to do drinks afterwards. We just got a whole lot of tricks and
stuff.
It's
going to be a lot of fun.
For you guys to stay updated on that, of course, follow our Instagram at @horrible_decisions. And click the links in our bios because y'all can purchase tickets now.
You know what? And I'm going to just say this because I'm in a mood today. Y'all can buy these motherfucking tickets. We give you all this free content. I have a really expensive fucking rent. I'm fucking poor right now. New York sucks. I spent $100 on drinks last night. It was only four of them. Only four fucking drinks, okay? That is New York. So if you want to buy this ticket, you should. Because you listen to all this shit and we come here, we buy MTA cards. They're $120 a month for unlimited to come to this fucking studio and pay for this shit. I can't wait to see you. I'm sorry.
See you guys there. Okay, so we're going to start off the show, y'all, with this song. Let's see if you know this song, Weezy.
I probably don't.
You should. So we're going to do a sing-along. Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you ready? Whoa, wrong song.
Sorry, Mom.
Sorry. So you know I have to play it on YouTube because this song is not in my phone.
Okay, we can cut this part. I'll try to find it.
No.
On Apple Music.
No, here we go. Damn, hold on. YouTube got ads.
Wait. Who do you know Blowfish essentials?
Y'all go. Here we go.
I don't know this song.
No.
Trying to find a thought that's escaped my mind.
I'm going to let it play one more little bit. She says there's a water. You know the, can you sing it, Mom?
No.
Wait, is this not your song?
Yes, it is. You a goddamn lie. Oh, it's not. It's Lara Croft. Okay, y'all. Anyways, I was trying to play Hootie and the Blowfish for my mama, but that ain't work. So,
Miss Tammy, is this because you're white?
I only
want to
be with
this?
You. How hard is that?
I only want to be with you.
I knew that one. That,
you see, that's what the fuck I thought it was, but it wasn't.
Oh, God.
Because, you know, when you try to do all this shit at once, it just doesn't work the right way. So, anyways, hi, guys. Welcome to yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Clearly, I was trying to be good for my mama because we got my mama in the studio
you
today.
Were trying to be good for your mama. Can we just describe what Mandy's wearing today?
What's wrong with this?
Your titties out. So when were you trying to be good?
I got these titties from my mama. The hell. Anyways, guys, welcome to yet another episode. I'm your girl Mandy B,
and I'm Weezy,
and we got Weezy, and we just gonna call you I guess Tammy.
Go Karma. That's what... I like Karma.
We are not using your stripper.
Is that your fucking stripper name?
You want to be called?
I just love that.
Karma?
Can I ask you, is that the profile name you give on Plenty of Fish or something?
What? On everything.
Wait, Karma?
Yes.
With a K?
Because Karma's a bitch.
Oh,
like me.
Okay.
You a bitch?
Well, I have tendencies.
Oh my God. We're not calling my mom Karma on this show.
They really sound, you got hoops on too, it sound kind of strippers.
No. So let me tell
listen,
you.
I put smaller ones in tonight because you ragged me on my big ones yesterday.
These are the small
they look like
ones?
Bracelets. Yeah, these are the small ones.
No, they're cute.
No, so last night she had on hoop earrings. I was like, Mama, why you got these big old ghetto ass hoops in your ear right now?
You guys looked like you had such a good time last night.
No, it was fun. She couldn't hang. She was with my friends and she was like, listen, I cannot mix liquor. You guys just want to drink all this shit.
I don't blame you.
She's like, we already did whiskey and vodka. I'm sticking to vodka, goddammit. Don't give me nothing else.
Is that what you normally drink?
I drink anything. Oh. If it tastes good, do it.
Okay.
Oh, well, there we go. So I wanted to start this episode off. I wanted to give you guys an introduction slightly to my mammy. So unlike Weezy, and we discussed this, Weezy is biracial with a black mom and a white dad. I am biracial with a white mom and a black dad. And I kind of wanted to discuss this because I don't know when this episode is going to air. I wanted to talk about interracial dating again.
Okay.
And coming from clearly the white woman who dates black men who has biracial kids. Clearly, we had Marcus Black from Love & Hip Hop, who kind of didn't even like the fact that you dated white guys, even though you're biracial.
Yeah. And I got really upset about that.
I wanted to touch back on that, but I wanted to bring up interracial dating because it's something where, as much as we kind of preach unity and like everyone to just love is love, there's still this little thing when you see two different races dating.
I don't really know if we preach unity.
Do we not? No?
I think that we want equality.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a lot of unity. I think that, like, you're misconstruing. The people that are preaching unity are for this, but most of us aren't. There's a lot of bitterness and feeling like we're not equal.
You know what? The media also plays a big part in that, because the only negative I've ever received being in having interracial kids and being in a black environment was when OJ and Nicole.
Really?
Yeah.
How was that?
Walking into the club and all the black guys are yelling, Nicole, Nicole.
They called you Nicole?
And throwing it down like that. That was, like, probably the most negative experience.
Mm-hmm. No, you've waited.
Really? It's actually a little fearful because knowing what happened with all that, you know?
OJ ain't do it though.
Hold
on, wait.
Didn't fit, you must quit.
You're saying I don't know if we're I didn't read your questions yet, but you're saying with you got three beautiful mixed girls, right? Mm-hmm. And you live in a black neighborhood, you never had black women treat you a certain way?
No, because there's never really a true friendship. They're kind of snide. It seems like I accept you, I love your kids, but everybody gets the birthday barbecues, but the white girl never gets one. You know what I mean?
Oh.
So you're not really that important. You're just there. You never really feel like you belong anywhere because you don't belong with the white families. You don't belong with the black families. And even in your own family, you have people that are shunning you. So you just kind of take it as it is, and your family becomes your kids.
Right.
And I wanted to bring that up because her side of the family didn't really accept us because we were black. So I know a lot of our families in California, we don't know a lot of them.
No,
we know grandma.
But your father's mother never accepted y'all either. She never interacted with you.
Well, yeah, I know
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did he have other fully black children?
One. My brother. And yeah, I know my grandma. Sounds.
Was it because she didn't like you or is it because
I never met her. I never met her. I met his sisters and they love everybody. They're just open and it's all good.
My aunts are really loving.
Never, ever. I don't.
And you think it's because we're white?
I just think she just is an evil person. I just don't think she ever...
excuse me.
Yeah, she never even sent birthday cards.
Wow.
So, yeah, she's...
I know that, yeah.
So I got that from my father's family. My mom told me that the day I was born that some Jewish woman came in. So my father's from Israel, for those of you who don't know. And she says that they were, looking inside of the glass or, trying to go come in the cradle. And my mom said she was in the bed and was like, she's light. She came out light. Because she said that, she just was waiting for that. Now, my mom, as much as I wouldn't like her to hear me say this, I think my mom has a little bit of a complex about her blackness. And which is why sometimes I think her family sees it. They've never really been that way with my dad, but I think she's sometimes uncomfortable about her own blackness and things like that, and maybe doesn't vocalize it. But I have absolutely seen it. When I went to Israel, oh my God, they were like, "Is she the nurse? Is she?" Oh yeah,
dang,
all the time.
So I wanted to ask you, if having us, besides how people treated you, if having biracial kids ever affected you dating white men? Okay, you date black men. Clearly, I know that. I don't think I've ever seen anything else come through the door.
I don't like white men at all. There's nothing attractive. They're not sexually attractive. They're not. I don't even like to look at their nude porn at the porn with the white guys. No,
you
I don't
are
even
your
look at that.
Mother's.
I don't even want to look at that.
I get it from my mama.
Mandy's just unattractive.
So let me ask you, what got you into liking black guys? Because you grew up in an area where there weren't many black people.
Where are you from?
California.
Where?
San Diego.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the only relationship I remember prior to, because my mother and my real father, who I've never seen, don't know, and there may be some hidden, resentment that way, but she was in a relationship with a black man. And so I remember him treating me well. And as I grew up, I got mistreated by more white men and white men and for different situations. So I just...
Wait,
that black people
your
were
mom
more attractive
dated a black man
once,
and then your family's still weird about it.
But when it came to the girls, when it was the Christmas, and I sent them a video, and they saw my boyfriend at the time was black, and they asked my grandmother, who was loved my girls. Yeah. Took them for the week. I mean, like the summers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they talked to her and they said, how do you take those girls in public? Yeah. Like they were that ignorant.
Wow.
And right now he's on my mom's Facebook and never requested me, never said shit. So I'm like, you know what? Bite it.
Yeah.
I ain't got time for that shit.
Do you think
you'll never disrespect my kids. And I never allowed the N-word anywhere. People, and that's what, I have white friends that had biracial kids and they would make comments about in this and no, I'm sorry, we gotta go. Because I'm not going to have my child around that, because I want them to be proud of every culture that they have in them, Jamaican, Haitian, white, whatever. I want them to be respected.
Yeah, yeah, I'm Jamaican.
Right.
I'm a Jamaican. So do you feel like it's changed since raising us in the 90s to now, how you see with racial tension and interracial dating?
I mean, I think it's taking now a really negative turn, and I think people are becoming really... You still look at an interracial couple, but you still get the look. And the look is like,
the
really?
The fact that you're still really? Getting the look.
Yeah, but look at the racial tension that's building in America now, period. It doesn't matter what you are. No.
Weezy about to put up her fist with the Black Panther already.
Yeah, like, it's crazy.
It's funny because I feel really hypocritical sometimes, because the truth is, like, as much as I'm a product of biracial, you know, dating and whatever, sometimes I do see Black men with white girls, and I'm like, and I feel, I don't know if I feel jealous.
So why, as someone who's biracial,
yeah.
As someone who's biracial,
I don't know
why do
from.
You feel any type of thing when you see a Black and a white man? I mean, a Black, not a Black and a white man.
Well, there's that too.
It's
a whole nother venue.
I'm going to be honest with you. I was trying to gather my feelings about it on the train, right? Because I knew we were going to talk with you about this, Miss Tammy, but I don't know. I think that I feel like successful Black men want white women. I feel like they just shit on Black women so much, and it just feels like the prize, you know, you've made it, so you got a white girl. I mean, like,
you know what though, I'm gonna totally say that I kind of disagree with that, because I've dated different kinds of men and
ain't shit ones.
I probably put up with a lot more shit than a Black woman would, so
yes,
maybe I'm allowing them to do things, but in the same turn it's gonna be on my terms. It's not going to be on your terms.
It's funny you say that, because that's something that Black women throw a lot of times at Black men for dating white. Oh, because they're going to do it and we won't and blah, blah, blah.
A lot of Black men. I know Black girls don't like to suck dick. Period. There you go.
They really don't.
You do a great job at it, Mom.
Shut up. Felicio.
But anyway. They're going to be like,
you both heard
your mother's on it, and we get it now.
Listen, I actually worked with a nurse that her husband was a police officer. And we were talking about it one day, and she's like, I'm not sucking that thing. You crazy. And I looked and I said to myself, I said, somebody's sucking it. Somebody's doing it. But yeah. So there's limitations.
Wait, do you think that's still a thing?
I don't think there is adventure.
But we talk about that with why she's now dating white men, because Black men are very cookie cutter in the bed as well.
I feel like they're gonna go through my house, take off all my Black Lives Matter shit from me for saying this, but yes, I did start dating white guys because I wanted to explore more sexual things. And I will tell you what, I think we have a few issues here. Like, in the Black community, you got to be masculine. You can't do like some homo shit. I'm going to pull that one back. In poorer communities, you have to be more masculine.
Yeah.
So we are just a product of that, right? It's like, I mean, Black and Latinos and minorities in these communities are going to go through shit like this. So like, they just have this idea about it. Black women are totally way more conservative with sex. I mean, the conversations that I have with my Black girlfriends, besides Dub, even Dub.
A lot more conservative,
it's totally
for sure.
Different. Totally different conversations. They may feel like I'm disrespecting myself by having this podcast even. I don't know why Black women feel this way. It makes me really sad, but I do see that they are totally, you got Kylie Jenner ass and titties and lips out there. We're like, oh my God, she's super hot. But then if Nicki Minaj does it, she's a hoe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but being that most of my friends growing up were Black women, and now that I'm pretty much single without kids, we raised the kids and we were friends. But the things that I'm introducing myself to now are so much more freaky.
We're not going to talk about this, Mom.
But I'm just saying, I mean, there's things out there that
I've never...
You know
what? You shut your mouth.
Kick her out. That I've never experienced, that I'm starting to experience now.
With Black men.
With a, yes.
With a black with man.
Oh, my bad.
It's been 2 years.
Right. She ain't dealing with men, ho. It's one man.
No, man.
Don't pay my mama.
But yeah, but things that I've never done. Men. And it's like, I never heard of. And now I'm like, really like I never watched porn.
Do you think it's because it was with, like, black men don't like to do these certain types of things?
That you're now in your almost 50. I'm sorry. But you're getting up there and you're just now finding someone to experience that. I feel like it's because you've only dealt with black men and they are so...
Yeah, but
cookie
I
cutter.
Was very, I just want to screw when you leave. I never, ever really.
You?
Yes. I've never been one that's been like, and that's because I don't want to keep somebody around. Because I'm very opinionated, and if you don't do it my way, you can get the fuck out. Period.
Right.
It's my way. So with this one.
Ha! Wonder where you get that from, bitch.
Like mama, like daughter.
But this guy now, he's like, I can experiment, I can do different things, but. It's definitely opened a whole new world to me that I'm that
what's
I
like
want
some,
to explore.
Just like you said, you, even really, things that the name of that you like, you said I've never heard of this. Like, what's one?
I mean, like what, when we watch in porn, we watch the pegging, we watch the bisexual parties. You know, we're watching all this, and I'm
orgies
like, well, damn.
Stuff.
You know, I mean, it's piquing my curiosity because it's something that I knew was out there, but I know that it's more of a world because I've talked to more people now. And I'm meeting different types of people that are in more introducing me to it. And it's like, hell yeah, I'm down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Which is why
just
I even, yeah.
Explore yourself. I mean, I spent 30 years raising the kids. I never even had a porn in my house with the kids. I did have dildos that they found. But, you know.
We definitely found it.
Tell
like,
me about
no,
it.
No,
Mom,
no, no, no.
What's
no,
this?
No, no, no. Remember the time that Bobby was babysitting y'all? And they went upstairs into the bedroom that was upstairs. And they came back down with a dildo on a plate and asked him, did he want a hot dog?
That is the best thing I've heard
That's
in a long
terrible.
Time.
That's yeah. You should
know that Amanda and who?
Amanda and Shelby.
My sister.
Yeah.
It felt like a you and Shelby thing.
I'm so glad. Well, what we like to do, Mom, we like to have kinks of the week. So we're going to get into one. And I chose this because me and my mom are on the train coming here like, what are we going to talk about with you? Because I didn't want you to say some shit. Mm-mm. She has a story about this.
I so, can't wait.
I'm sorry. The one today, it's not a weird word, actually. It's bestiality.
Oh.
And I wanted to talk about this because, so bestiality.
Okay.
Right. It's not her story.
I know
out.
Exactly what it is.
Yes.
So that's why I sound judgy.
Bestiality, for those who do not know, is sexual intercourse involving a human and an animal.
Yep.
So this is actually something, if you go onto Pornhub, any of your porn sites that you go onto, you can actually find this. I know there's...
I meant you just said Pornhub.
I mean, I like Pornhub. Which one do you use?
Oh my gosh.
Excuse?
iCream.
iCream?
What?
Oh, no, iCream.
Why did I just get totally uncomfortable? Like, I was...
Wait, you watch iCream? I've never even
no,
heard of that.
I'm just mad you said Pornhub.
Oh, excuse
okay,
me.
Okay, bye.
Why? Is Pornhub too, like,
no,
world mainstream?
No, so many categories.
What's
go ahead.
On what? Okay, and see... Don't Ooh. Be debating me.
I'm so sorry. This is so fucking good. So.
Okay, so for you guys who, whatever porn site you do watch, if you type in, what, bestiality, right? Are you seeing what comes up right now? No?
Actually, I was just going to try to take a picture of your mom, but whatever.
So you can look up. I know that they do horses, dogs. Like, there's different
mom,
animals.
I've seen
horses,
an,
dogs, sheep, chicken, cows. There's, like, whole videos you can watch.
My mom
not
said she
I,
went
I
to a show in
this.
Mexico, and she's like, yeah.
The donkey?
Yep.
Yeah, that's like the big thing. Everybody goes over. I don't know how they do
Wait,
that.
Wait, what happened?
Because when I was in New York City yesterday at Central Park, there was a horse, and his schlong was hanging about that
Why
long.
Why are you
I
looking
like,
at the
oh
horse's
God,
schlong?
You, dude, you've never noticed
oh,
it?
Oh, it's terrible.
I mean,
I was
big,
like, that's obnoxious.
Like, I remember we used to have dogs growing up, and when the little pink thing came out, oh. I'd be like, oh, my God, get them away.
Yeah.
Man has never liked animals, period. No, it kills everything.
No, they just, I go away on trips and come back and they're just not alive anymore.
Isn't that what happened to Carmelo Anthony?
It was Durant.
And Durant.
Durant was the name.
Your lizard?
I do. Okay, so she said that, not literally Carmelo Anthony. I didn't kill Carmelo. But I have a thing with naming all of my pets after athletes since I was like in middle school. So we had
and
Kobe.
And now they are your pets.
Shut the fuck up.
Okay,
so tell the story. Tell the story of this.
I can't remember where I was at. I ran into, I'm in the healthcare field, so I ran into a fellow paramedic who told me about a story where he was in his orientation, and they went to this retirement community, and the lady had called 911, so they had to break down the door to get in, and when they got there, they saw her on her hands and knees, and she went to move, and the dog went, So they couldn't figure out how to separate them. So the dog was stuck inside of her. They had to put the two of them on the stretcher and push them out in front of all her little retiree friends.
Oh, no.
While she would, and she had the dog still stuck in her because he was, they couldn't get him out. Every time they tried to move the dog or move her, it would he'd do that whining. That's what it, yeah.
Why was he
because
stuck?
Because we were told, he was stuck because when that's how dogs have babies. Like when the dogs go together, the dog, male dog swells inside the female.
Oh, I didn't know
that. And that's why
they
get stuck. They're, that's literally.
My leg. Do you see my, look at my leg.
Her leg is shaking.
Literally,
that
they
is
get
disgusting.
Stuck. No, the dogs get stuck. That's what happens.
Now, I want to ask you because, so my mom works in like a crazy house. Is there a psychological thing besides?
I mean, I'm sorry.
No.
Which way you pick? What? Like you?
No.
Just crazy ass people. Like the stories I hear. So for someone who has a bestiality fetish, is this a mental thing you think? Or is
you know
it
what?
Really
I deal in addictions. So, I mean, I deal with like bipolar, borderline personality, addictions and things like that. Mostly, they don't come out with their sexual fetishes in anywhere in that arena.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you have your true psychosis, but even psychosis doesn't become sexual.
Okay.
No, honestly, I think it's just a kink.
I think it is. Like,
I don't think it's a fucking weird thing in your head. Like, I mean,
I think everybody has a tendency to try something new, and again, it just becomes the fear.
Not new, but like weird.
You know what? Like that saying says, everything, the best things in life lie on the other side of fear. So you have to remember that everything.
That's a great quote.
Yeah, everything that's over there is something that you're afraid to get to, but it'll be rewarding when you do.
I'm about to text this nigga talking about he don't want a girlfriend and be like, everything.
Right. Okay, so I guess you want to hop into the horrible decision. We got you talking a whole lot, Tammy. So what we're going to do is hop into the horrible decision. Before we get into it, I wanted to ask if this has ever happened. I'm going to ask if it's happened to Weezy before, though. Has anything ever happened embarrassing in the middle of sex to you? So we talked about the girl who pissed on herself.
Yeah.
Like, has anything embarrassing happened to you?
So... do you remember, or were we friends when I fucked that dude from?
No, I don't think I was.
So
what happened then?
There was like a popular rap group. Are they still? No, they're not. But what, 8 years ago or so, they had like
Migos before the Migos.
Yes. And I let him fly me to Atlanta, and we had a great time. And then they came back for a show in Tampa, and I went and got wasted and smoked weed, and I'm not a weed smoker. And the weed had my head going, it had me feeling dizzy. So in the middle of sex, he was fucking me from behind. I was throwing up.
You threw up in the middle of sex?
Let me tell you.
On the pillow?
Yeah, it was on the bed. I don't really remember, but I remember throwing up. Like, throwing up. And so I don't know if he didn't see it or what was going on, but he didn't notice it until the smell.
Uh-huh.
He's like, what is that?
Oh,
and then, yeah, it was really bad. What really bothered me, though, is that, like, he was 100% okay with, like...
He was okay with still fucking you and throw up?
That was disgusting.
There's a kink about
throw up. You don't have to whisper here, Miss Tammy.
You don't have to whisper,
no,
Mom.
No, because, and you know what? One time I did that, but it was really bad. Because I went out drinking with a friend of mine and met somebody, and I just puked all over him.
Wait, he wanted you to, though?
No.
No, but you did, and he was fine.
No. But
he
like,
he wasn't fine. He was like, I gotta go.
But think about it. There's ghetto gaggers, like that was a really popular, like forced blowjob. This is like a very popular thing to do. A forced blowjobs, Latina abuse, ghetto gaggers. These are like really demeaning ass. And not only is it just like the forcing the bitches to do it, they like talk shit to you while they do it, but they want you to throw up. I don't know if he had a throw-up fetish, but I remember when I woke up in the morning, almost in tears, I was like, I feel like I fucked a rapist.
Oh, shit.
Like, I honestly, like...
So you felt like you were a little too drunk for him to even still want to keep
fucking
you?
It's not like I didn't sleep with him before. It's not like I didn't ask for it. It's not like I didn't want to, but, like, I just was shocked that like...
he's still... Yeah. Rape culture.
Is it?
Did show you he has kinks you didn't know about?
Maybe he did get turned on by you throwing
it. I never slept with him again. I was terrified of him after that. I was terrified.
So speaking of being terrified... My mom has.
I heard
story.
Your Private Benjamin. You seen that movie, right? With Goldie Hawn?
Yeah.
The same thing happened to her. That's why she ended up going to the Army. It was on their wedding night.
Oh, see? I don't even.
I'll talk about the movie.
We'll talk about
when
the movie.
Mandy
after.
Told me the story.
I remember that.
So, okay. Anyways, again, I guess today's horrible decision is embarrassing shit. But in my mama's case, it's almost she caught a body almost. Almost caught
but we're
a body.
Still friends. We're still friends.
Okay. That's a good story. So explain what happened and kind of the embarrassing moment during your sexapade.
So I knew the guy for a few months. And okay. We had went out to dinners and stuff like that and chilling. And, you know, I go through different phases. And it was like, okay, I'm going to try a guy that's a little older than me.
So how old was he?
He was 55.
Okay. How old were you at the
time? I was like 45. So it was a few years.
Are you dating younger guys normally?
Usually it's my age or younger. Okay. I don't She's usually like go me. Older. But I'm like, okay, I need somebody that's a little
I
more
settled.
I
swear to God, I'm just like... What else do you have to say?
So
how tall was he?
So actually he's about 6'3". and he was built. However, he did have a heart condition.
Okay.
And a penis pump. Okay. So needless to say, I've never tried a penis pump. So
I said,
let me see what this is about. So
I saw it on Austin Powers. What is it?
Months,
tell our listeners what a penis pump is.
It's a device that's implanted into the penis, and it's almost like a air pump. Yeah. The in the balls, they have the little squeezer. And you squeeze it, and it pumps it up. And then when you want to release it, you just put the squeezer and hold it down. So it can stay there all day long.
I'm sorry. I thought you were going to talk about, like, what strippers do, like that glass thing they put over there.
No, this is like a true penis pump. It's like it's internal. It's inside the penis. Shit.
Yeah. He was really old.
No, he wasn't really old. No, he had a heart condition because he had a pacemaker.
My mom has
so
a pacemaker.
So this is what I'm saying. I find out all this stuff like...
Wait, hold on. I have never heard of this penis pump. So
okay,
that's what I want to know.
I want you to Google the penis pump. So wait. I want you to see what a penis pump does because I want you to Google it because it lasts all day.
You squeeze the balls.
Right. It's got the pumper in there. And then...
Did you watch him do it or did you do it for
him?
I've
seen it. I didn't watch him. So anyway, so then we had entered into the intercourse, and I'm like, okay, let me try this. First time for everything,
you
right?
You could say we started fucking. We entered into the intercourse.
Okay. I wanted to say I want to fuck her fella.
What the fuck is that?
Well, as he was on the floor in front of me and making me squirt.
Just my daughter. Okay.
All of a sudden, he kicks back, and I'm like, what the fuck? And his pacemaker went off.
What do you mean it went off?
It shocked him. He had a pacemaker defibrillator, and it shocked him while he was
Oh, my God. Look who's calling. Speaking of pacemakers. Hold on. Wait.
One moment.
Mom, we're on air with Mandy's mom, and she's telling us about the man she fucked that had a pacemaker that had a heart attack pretty much.
Tell us he left with a smile.
With the paramedics.
All right, love you, bye.
Yeah, okay. So it shocked like 3 more times. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Because we're both butt-ass naked.
So he had
and
a heart attack.
And he's like, call 911. So 911 gets there, and they're like, what's your... Or I call them, they're like, what's the address? I'm like, I don't fucking know. How do I know the address? So I have to find a piece of mail, and I'm like, read the address off. And they're like, and what's his... yeah, that's the full name right there. There you go.
You ain't know his last name?
Listen.
Did you know?
I don't remember shit like that when I've just been shocked with a defibrillator in my pussy. I mean... Okay. So I just keep going. So they show up. All of a sudden, they're like, so what were you doing prior to this? And I just looked and I was waiting on him to respond.
Did you have to dress him? Or was
yes,
he still
I
naked?
Had to put his shorts on and make him presentable. And then when they got there, they gave him like a shot in the arm of like epinephrine or whatever to stop because his heart rate was like 192. So then they get ready to take him downstairs and he's like, get the weed he's like, take the weed and put it in the car. I'm like, dude. So then they put him in the ambulance. I follow.
So did you tell them what y'all were doing?
I didn't say a shit. I said nothing.
So when he asked you, you said nothing?
No, I think he responded with like watching TV. And they both kind of looked at us like, all the whole group of them, because they literally had him hooked up to the machine. Like, ready to shock him. They shocked him twice in the car. It was terrible. So then we get to the hospital, and he's a little narcissistic. So once he gets in there, not only have you almost died, now you want to start talking shit. So they give him a shot of Geodon to
that?
Shut him up. It's like an antipsychotic. So then they give him that to shut him up because he's just like, I want this. Shut the fuck up. You're lucky you're alive.
This pussy is deadly.
Left his ass right there in the house and not called nobody.
Is it safe to say that your pussy's deadly?
There you go.
You got that no date pussy.
Listen.
I don't know how I would feel if that happened. Like a heart attack during sex.
Listen, I'm a
needless to say, anytime
laughing.
After that, we like hung out because we stayed friends. I mean, that's kind of something, you know. So
did you
like,
ever want
to
sleep with him again?
No.
You said he made you squirt.
No. Mm-mm. We did lunches and drives, but no more squirt.
Wait, what's a drive?
I let him eat my pussy. That's what I let him do. But other than that.
Yes.
Oh, my God. She said they had to watch a TV.
What, yeah?
And being Mary Jane, you watch Being Mary Jane?
No.
With Gabrielle Union.
I love it.
There was a guy that had a seizure right after sex, and
that's scary.
No, the best show in the world is Sex Sent Me to the ER.
Oh no, it's terrible. So there's a show
like
on TV.
All these different shows for like people with different fetishes and stuff too, like vampires and all this different. They like freaking get their dick stuck in stuff, and the females get their and they have to go to the ER. I was like, I could have been on that show.
But it's a really good show. And it's on basic cable.
I would have biggest hoops, and I would have said,
I hate you so much. Okay, so what we're going to do right now is we're going to hop into home mail.
Oh, this will be really good.
So if you guys want to send us your home mail, you guys can DM it to us, apparently, because y'all motherfuckers don't like emailing. Or you can email us at horribledecisions@gmail.com. So this one, we're going to get straight into it. And I kind of picked this one because it kind of deals with interracial. And then we have another one, and we're going to get into finally vanilla shit.
Okay.
Okay. So here's the letter. Hi, Mandy and Wheezy. I am a 30-something straight woman, and I'm a professional dancer and go-go dancer. I think my job is pretty cool, being that I dance alongside some of the biggest names in pop and hip-hop in some of the biggest nightclubs in my city. Now that things are slowing down, I took a side dance gig at a gay club. The music is super fun, the tips are incredible, we can drink for free, and because I'm in the gay club, I can really twerk and fuck it up without feeling some creep making me feel uncomfortable. Here's where we get the good shit, y'all. So last night at work, everything was pretty normal. As the only black woman there, and the only woman with a big booty, my tips come only second to the seriously in shape celebrity lookalike gays that dance their little booties off. While being tipped by this gay couple, two white men, both of them are basically making out with each other while putting 50s in my thong. I pay it no mind because it's pretty normal to me. Lots of gay couples club together here. But after I get down from my set, they practically chase me down to introduce themselves to me, which led them to telling me how beautiful they thought I was and how they're jealous of my curves. One then asked if they could play out a fantasy with me. They want to have a threesome with a black woman with a big ass, and they would love to pay me for the experience. The whole side of me is like, bitch, how much? But the other side of me feels weird about these white men wanting my black ass, literally. They say neither one of them have ever been with a woman, but if they were, they both want a black woman. What would you do in this situation, or has this ever been presented to you, and what did you do? Signed, not strapped for cash, but ..
Well, I want to have a threesome with two gay dudes, so I'm the wrong one to ask.
Me too, but I think the problem is not that they're two gay guys. It's the fact that she feels like she's being fetishized because she's a black woman. They keep emphasizing that they want to do this because she's a black woman.
This is going to sound kind of cold, but being a sex worker, right? It's like a stripper. Stripping is a sex worker type job.
I think, well, go-go dancing isn't.
That's what she said she does?
Same thing.
Go-go dancing.
I mean, okay. For money, whatever, like, you have to understand that you are already being fetishized, right? I mean, you're telling me that, like, certain men aren't choosing lap dances or choosing to dance with you because you're black. Like, we've got to be a fool. I know that men go on dates with me because they think I'm exotic or I've never been with this kind of girl or you have tattoos. Like, we all understand that. So, I mean, if you're already doing that for money and a part of you would get turned on by this, then I kind of would.
I mean, I think it's interesting. However, I told you about, I don't remember what episode this was, but the white guy who came to me and pretty much wanted me to talk about how much I love black dick over his white dick, and to kind of make him feel, you know, less
humiliated.
And humiliate him for being a white man and me being this black woman fucking his wife, you know. And he just made it so racial to me that it made me feel uncomfortable.
I think also another thing, too, like if you're considering doing it, just set boundaries. Be like, I don't like, I'm not into race play. Like Vinny talks a lot about, so it's one of my gay friends. We've had him on. He's on Grindr. And he says that a lot of dudes write him and say BBC, and he hates using that word. And he's like, I hate.
She's like, when I said BBC, you hated me saying that.
I did. Only
bitch,
only...
I like BBC. Okay. And I like it black and big.
I mean, it's only because I think in my mind, he made me feel bad about it. He was like, you don't know how often, like, when you sleep with someone else from another race, like, and you're a black man, like, that's all they talk about. I want your big black cock. Like, it's annoying, he said.
Do you all races have different sizes. I'm just going to say, not all black men have big cocks.
Oh, we know that. We already know.
Now, I'm curious. I don't know. Okay, this sidetrack. Like, do you ever say that?
Yeah. Because when I watch a lot of interracial porn, the white women either say, oh, my God, your black dick is so, or your cock. Sorry, it's cock.
It's just cock.
You say cock, Mom?
I do say big black cock sometimes, but that big black cock, yeah. I do. Oh. I do. And I tell them where to put it.
And so do they ever... And do they ever talk about...
That's not a thing.
Do they ever...
I'm honestly...
Does he ever talk about you, your white ass? Or,
oh, yeah.
Really?
Or,
yeah.
Or
oh,
your yeah. pink nipples? Or,
oh, yeah.
To you, are you into
hot dog
it?
Pussy?
Mm-hmm. Wait, what's what? A hot dog
the lips,
pussy?
The lips. Swelling of the lips when you eat it right.
I've never heard of hot dog pussy.
And we are too young for this.
So you don't have a problem with... race being mentioned in the bedroom, like it's something that doesn't bother you?
No.
And what about you, Weezy?
It's kind of hot sometimes.
So it's like a role play?
You can turn around and talk shit too. Be like, you think that big black cock is good? Hell no. You know what I'm saying? You can throw it.
Excuse me.
You can take it anyway.
Okay, so mentioning that it's black, or even in her case, them saying that I want you because you're a black woman, maybe you feel like she shouldn't take that as a fetishism or that
it is a fetish, but like, is are you okay with it?
But where both of them come from, where are they coming from with that? Is it,
I mean, have they ever been with a woman, period?
That's what he, is they their said that, she said that they haven't been with a woman,
but why would they pick a black woman over a white woman?
It's a fantasy for them. I guess they both want a black woman.
I mean, I'm gonna be honest, I like, it's already a fantasy in itself. Like, they're gay. They want to fuck you. They want to fuck you because you got a big ass. The race play, to me, like, I get it. If you can't do it without
maybe
feeling...
Maybe it's just stereotyping. Maybe it's just stereotyping that turns them on. In the sense, because, yeah, it's a big ass.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Your big black ass.
You don't want to be like, hey, I want to fuck you with your flat white ass. Hey, you're sexy.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
If it's going to make you feel like shit in the morning, don't do it.
Then don't do it, right.
It's not as sexual.
If you're going to feel sexy about getting paid for it and about, like, get to these two gay guys explore you, then do it. But
don't resent it.
But if you absolutely don't want them mentioning you being black during sex, just say that's your boundary.
I agree.
I had to tell a guy to stop saying it.
So...
It was the second we had sex the first time. He said like this whole like, I don't know what I said, if I used the word dick instead of cock, and he was like, to Murray Hill. So like a super, I'm serious. It's like super white neighborhood. And then he was like, oh yeah, you're just like a tough ass black bitch, aren't you? And I just kind of let it go. And then the next time he said it again, and I said, you know what, Brian, it's just
too much.
It's something about this is not comfortable for me. You know what I mean? You already think all lives matter. And I just, this is too much. And he told me, like, I thought you were into it. Like, I thought that was the reason you were fucking with me.
No, so I guess it can kind of go both ways. Then.
It can. But if it makes you uncomfortable, absolutely set the precedent.
Okay. And I have one more. And with this one, this will go ahead and wrap up the show for us, guys.
Okay. No, but
it's a good one. Well, it's a good, no, this is actually... intertwine in vanilla shit. I specifically chose this letter specifically because of the vanilla shit that just popped out.
By the way, guys, if you don't know what vanilla shit is, we on our first show, we did it. We wanted to have certain like segments, and vanilla shit was supposed to be our news segment that was kind of related segment. To dating or sex. Well, we talk so much shit, we never get to it.
So this one says, girls, let me start with praise. I really enjoy your podcast. Didn't miss an episode, and I spread the word about it. About the last episode, she's actually referring to the episode with Lethal Lips.
I remember this email.
When your guest started to talk about cream pies and how people in porn industry protect themselves from STDs, I was ready to hear all about it, but then Mandy cut her off. Can you please revisit it? I had a guy who wanted to fuck me raw, claiming that you have the highest chance contracting STDs when a guy comes inside of you. I was trying to find scientific papers about it, but with little success. I understand there are STIs that you can contact by skin-to-skin contact, but let's face it, one can live with herpes, but HIV or HEP is a different thing. I have good hotation of guys, and I don't know what is wrong with my pussy, but it just pulls out the condoms. It pulls the condoms off the dicks. The first time it happened, I thought the guy got soft. The first time it happened, I thought the guy got soft, but no. They are hard as fuck and I deal with well-endowed guys, so it's not the condom size. Anyways, you can see why I'm being curious about the STDs. I wanted to actually start this off real quick in a little spiel for our listeners. I feel like she wanted that advice specifically coming from a porn star, as though Lethal Lips was unhuman. I want to let you guys know that if you're having unprotected sex with someone, if you're having sex with anyone, the only way that you can keep from getting an STD is A, knowing the status of your partner, or B, being abstinent. There are still STDs that you can get from condoms.
I mean, listen, still... we had Ella on. Yep. I don't know if Mandy told you. She reached out to this girl who did a TED Talks about having herpes, who never had unprotected sex in her life.
And and had...
Absolutely, because right. It's on the outside.
Well, right. So that's skin to skin. So when she's sitting here saying, genital, you know, herpes, you know that this guy is... You know, I want him to come into me, but how can I stay clear of getting an STD? It's like you're not going to get this advice from a porn star. You can get this advice from anyone. And the simple fact of the matter is you need to know the status of who you're fucking. You also need to get tested every 3 months because there's like this little period of time where there's even incubation. Yeah, there's incubation yeah. time frames and shit.
Where's the what did it have to do with the vanilla shit?
But some things will show up within a few weeks.
Of course.
But if you don't do the full check, because like chlamydia is something that's rampant in the United States right now.
Ooh, yeah. Which, damn, don't be talking about what I'm about to talk about.
I know. It was scary when I read about it.
So this actually leads us to the vanilla shit. And I wanted to to read this for you guys. 2016 was the year of gonorrhea, syphilis, and chlamydia. Over 2 million cases were reported by the CDC. This is a record high, guys. The CDC's sexually transmitted report.
I love your
listen,
mom.
She ready.
Reported.
So the CDC's sexually transmitted report demonstrates that more than 80% of the cases reported were chlamydia, 470,000 were gonorrhea.
Want to check a stat really quick.
With syphilis only having 28,000 cases.
Ooh.
Dr. Gail Boland, director of CDC's Division of STD, stated, clearly we need to reverse this disturbing trend. The CDC cannot do this alone, and we need every community in America to be aware that the risk is out there and help educate that their citizens and how to avoid it. There's also a note that these are only reported cases, guys. So there's a lot of people that go untreated.
They don't go to the fucking doctor.
And
well, as long as you have 10 daddies being checked about are you the father?
No shit.
You're basically saying that this isn't okay and this isn't normal behavior.
You know what, though? It's a lot of people are not going to the doctor they feel like...
They're scared.
I'm going to tell you, Loverboy gets CBCs, complete blood checkups. But I went to the doctor and...
Is that what that's called? Is that in your world? That's what that's called.
What's it called?
A complete blood count. Complete. Just so you know.
All right, maybe I fucked it up.
That's
Tammy
cute.
Thanks.
I like that. I like that, though.
Complete blood checkup?
That's good.
What is it really called, Mom?
A CBC is a complete blood count, but that normally just does your WBCs and things like that. So unless you're
she
doing
said BBCs again. What?
No, I didn't say BBC. Slipped it in.
So are you saying you
can't just say it's sex, because like I was telling you on the train, hepatitis C, which is a bloodborne disease, and you probably won't get it sexually. It's more among the needle users and things like that,
right.
Unless you're doing anal sex and you actually, there's blood, their blood is going to come in contact with your blood anally or whatever.
I'm getting freaked
right,
out.
Let's
okay,
stop.
But it stays alive outside the body for 4 days.
So
you're talking 4 days. So when everything that you touch on that train, anytime you have a sore on your hand,
I can make you paranoid.
No, I can't handle it. But you just have
to be careful. As long as your skin is intact, you're good. But you can catch, if you go to the wrong nail salon and they're not cleaning their tools properly, you have to be careful.
I'm not going to lie. The one I go to got a staph infection. The prices are really low. And
listen.
But
that's just like with tattoo artists. If you go to, you get what you pay for.
Right.
In that sense. Hepatitis B is sexually transmitted. And then hepatitis A
B is,
an
for
oral.
Booty. A is for
what? A is actually oral. For,
I'm trying to think of an acronym oral. To remember.
Hepatitis A is, you can say asshole because
so you lick ass.
It's no, it's fecal. Well, if you lick
if you
an
lick
infected
an ass?
Person's ass and they have fecal matter there, yes.
Damn, I can't because eat ass no more.
Because it gets Dingleberry, ingested.
That's what lethal lips say.
It gets ingested.
Oh, but the doctor. So he gets CBCs, right? So I got checked recently. I told him my results were fine, and he's like, "All right, well then I know I'm good." And I was just thinking to myself, like, "Nigga, that's really how men think."
That is.
I mean, just because you know got your shit checked out to make sure your fucking glucose or whatever is good, whatever the shit is, I don't know, but you can't like. It just blew my mind. It's a grown man, and I'm not shitting on him for it, but it's just really what like. Okay, you're good, I'm good.
And I wanted to let you guys know that while going to the doctor is very scary, we were also talking about this. So if you go, so like chlamydia, gonorrhea, some of them don't have symptoms. And some people won't know that they have these things and you're not going to know unless you go to the doctor. So I'm saying this to say don't wait for symptoms, but also what are some of the things that can happen if chlamydia or gonorrhea goes untreated for a certain amount of time?
Isn't it terrible for pregnancy?
It's really bad.
I mean, if... The chlamydia and gonorrhea can lead to pelvic inflammatory disease called PID, and all of it can lead to infertility. Untreated syphilis can cause brain damage eventually.
Whoa.
I mean, yeah, it can actually affect your brain, and it's similar to the end.
You was a hoe and a stupid hoe.
Right.
Yeah, so, and everything is causing internal damage. I mean, like the hepatitis is, your liver will be gone. You know, I mean, it just, you'll end up with cirrhosis, you'll be yellow. And I mean, sometimes you see the people with a lot of yellowing in their eyes, could have some liver damage
all
already.
From getting fucked.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is we talk about, oh my god, herpes, oh my god, but and everyone wants to play down the gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis because there's a cure for it, an antibiotic, but it's like if these little you know y'all want to refer to them as, you know, they're curable.
No, syphilis is huge. Syphilis is huge. Syphilis will basically rob your life from you because it's something you won't get rid of. You'll always test positive. So
oh, wait,
everywhere
really?
You go for life, they'll know that you either were treated for syphilis or you have syphilis. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Why am I
we
scared
are getting
right
more,
now?
We are getting more in my field. We're seeing more people that are testing positive with an RPR, which is the test for syphilis.
I'm going to
and
a sex party tonight and you're ruining it. I'm serious. I'm scared. I don't want to kiss nobody.
If people would just take more responsibility for their freakiness. I mean, just if you're going to be freaky and do crazy shit, just be safe about it.
And you know, it's funny because like I was saying to someone, so I'm going to this sex party. It's called Chemistry. It's in Brooklyn. I got invited by the guy I used to date. And he's like, look, my girlfriend's out of town. I'm like, my man's out of town. He's like, I just need to see other people fuck. I'm like, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
So right. we're going to go tonight. Very classy. Like Maxim magazine wrote about it. And I wrote to him. I told him, I was like, I really don't want to have sex with anyone. Like, he's like, me neither. I can't. And he said, I was like, I'm also really worried about diseases. And he goes, the crazy thing is people that seem to be in this lifestyle
are much cleaner.
Are almost more clean than anyone else.
Oh, yeah. All the, like, Craigslist, all those ads that are there, like, it must be DD-free, blah, 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 because they are.
And they
know.
Get tested for this stuff.
And a lot of them are like, no drugs, no drinking. We want this. They want you to be sober in the experience because they don't want you to turn around and be like, oh, what the hell did I just do
right.
when you sober up?
So yeah,
which is what I saw in there.
Oh, I sent you the rules.
You sent me the rules. And one of it says that they don't want you to be completely inebriated
exactly.
or intoxicated.
They don't because you might turn around and be like, oh, I didn't say yes.
Right.
No.
Exactly.
It's funny you said that. The consent thing was huge.
It's very huge in sex parties.
With the sex party thing. I'm trying to find it. But basically, I mean, it talked a lot about, like, even if it's a if it's a maybe, even if you're going to think about it, still say no.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody hold on to the idea. Another rule that this shit had that I liked was if men are in the play spaces or whatever, they have to be accompanied by a woman. And if that woman that there was their date leaves, they've got to leave too. Like there's no men's strategy.
There's no
around.
Single men.
Can you send me a copy of that? I just like to look it over. Give him my email address.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're not going to one, Mom. You can look in Orlando.
Go back on Monday, honey.
One of them is do not touch or physically do anything without a clear verbal yes. Now, even if the person is sexual in your vicinity. So what made me think about that. Actually, my friends said something to me. They're like, you're always touching up on girls, like, and being flirty with them. And they're like, you have to make sure you don't do that tonight. And I was like, you know what? I think I just assume everything is cool.
That girls like girls all the time, and sometimes it's not.
Right. And at this party, like, if they're looking at me, be like, oh, hey. And I want to make sure, like, I'm following the rules. But yeah, there's a coat check for all your stuff. So I brought my whole gear.
And they actually also advertise for protected sex there.
Yeah.
So again, for you listeners who keep wanting us to talk about STDs, STIs, and all of this stuff, I just think that it's important for you to know your status and know your partner's status if you're gonna have unprotected sex. Because there's nothing, if you're letting a nigga fuck you raw, there's really nothing that's gonna keep you from getting STDs. Aside from him hopefully being STD free. And if you don't know his status and you're not using condoms, you may as well just be playing Russian roulette with your pussy. And that's pretty much that. Like, you're pretty much taking a gamble and a chance. And a lot of y'all don't trust the niggas y'all fucking anyway. Because clearly you think they're all cheaters. Or you're having casual sex with someone who's sleeping with other women. So it's just
something. Come on, clean pussy.
It's just something that you guys definitely need to talk about with your partners.
Be responsible.
And be responsible for yo, ho shit.
You know what? I'm going to try to go to Planned Parenthood because I like to put money back into, you know.
You do?
You already know.
Especially since Trump is taking all the money out of it.
I don't even want to go to a regular gyno anymore. I had one I was going to, I introduced Manti to, but like now I'm just making sure it's only Planned Parenthood so I can put that money back. But long story short, they get free condoms. I'm going to try to give some out at our live show.
They give NYC condoms. No one uses those.
No, Planned Parenthood gives some lifestyle. They give decent ones. So I'm going to try to ask them for some for our live show if you guys come. We also used to do something we don't do anymore, which is say something nice. And it's really because me and Mandy fight so much, we ain't got nothing to say. But I want to say something nice because your mom is here.
Oh, jeez.
I am so proud. I don't even know if, like, as a friend or how I feel, but, like, even when we weren't talking of Mandy, I just can't believe, like, you know?
She's accomplished a lot.
You can't believe what?
You've just accomplished so much. Like, there were, you know, days on the phone where we would talk and you wouldn't have shit. Or you were going through shit and you were done and you wanted to bartend and I got to get flown out to get paid. And it's like, you could take care of yourself. And I think it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, especially with three kids, my mom, you know, had my father and I was the only child, but like, I mean, still fucking.
I mean, all three girls have really like, they've reached their dreams. I appreciate all of their, an individual. I know I've got two of them that are just like out there and just feeling themselves and understanding and learning their
and
own
Alex
sexuality.
Is in what, the military?
Alex is doing nothing. Alex is a virgin.
For so, real?
No.
She's not,
no,
mom.
She's not. But I don't face that.
She
yet.
Doesn't want to. She
I
doesn't want to know that my youngest sister has had sex.
Yeah.
While we sit here,
I got two kids like me, and I'm just gonna hope for the best for her.
And then something nice that I want to say about you, I actually want to sit here and say this is something that's new for Weezy. For a lot of people that follow me, know I've done the website. I've done like all these entrepreneur things, and this is something that you've just kind of hopped in and you've kind of. Learned you're grasping you're and it's something to where although we fight and banter on a lot of different things, I feel like you're really just taking the brand and knowing that this is you and you really pushing to see it grow. I'm not gonna lie to you guys, like when we first started this show, Weezy's first thing was like, bitch, we gonna do this show, but listen, I got a job. And literally 2 weeks ago we hopped on the phone and she was like, I can't wait till we making enough money for me to quit my job.
Let me tell you, I have been getting so inspired. I would love you guys to give some feedback on this. I didn't expect to talk about this, but I'm really curious. So I'm sitting with James. I'm sure you guys loved his episode. He was amazing.
Yeah, he was amazing.
James was like, dude, you can make money on this. And I'm like, I don't know. Like ads, they come, they go. Even Brilliant Idiots, who's my favorite podcast, sometimes they don't have
love
ads.
Them. Yeah.
How? You know, they have hundreds of thousands of people. There's a podcast called Chapo Trap House that James listens to. He pays $5 a month for their premium feature. So the podcast gives, if I'm wrong, I don't know, but one a week like we do. Mm-hmm. And then they give another two or three episodes a week to their listeners to have because they want more. Now, I know when I'm done listening to my favorite podcast, I'm like, damn, I wish it was longer.
Yeah.
Which I hope y'all feel like that about us. And so Mandy and I are eventually going to try to completely eliminate looking for ads, maybe, and do this $5 premium. Now, Chapo Trap House, it's called Patreon.
Patreon, yeah.
You can look and see how much people make. They make $85,000 a month.
A month.
From 18,000 people.
A month.
They have 150,000 listeners. So that means less than 10%, or a little bit more than 10% of their listeners pay $5 a month. James has been paying $5 a month for a year and a half and loves it, and it's worth it. And I'm going to tell you something. I would pay $5 a month for Brilliant Idiots.
Absolutely.
I would pay $5 a month.
For The Read?
I would. I absolutely would. Those are two that I love to listen to.
And so we're definitely thinking about giving you guys more content weekly, and we're gonna draw it up and test it with you guys. $5,
but you know, I mean, these dudes, I think they were able to quit their jobs just to do this. But I mean, $85,000 a month. When I tell you, I saw that. That was the day I called you. I said, I'm done.
So we're definitely looking.
I'm ready to contribute to my 401k separately. If that could happen, if this content is that good.
Well, not only that, I tell you, our listeners be like, "Bitch, I'll pay for the studio time next time. Why the fuck y'all only had 50 minutes?" And so if you guys don't have to pay for our studio time, but this essentially will, and you won't see a dollar leave your account.
You know, we're trying to be super stingy by like, you know, like we can't afford another hour, but we just have to be smart about, we are paying essentially right now to give you content. You know, we are doing this on our own. You know, our studio is, you know, producing our show for us and sponsoring the show so you guys can see that. And it's like, I want us to be able to do it on our own. So please come and support. It's sponsored by Cast Sound Lab, and it's going to be December 1st.
December 1st. Come check us out, guys. We live. We all the way live.
See, oh, my mom is going to come and do listener advice.
Yeah, so we're going to have, and also, if you guys loved any of our previous guests, we're going to have them in the building, too.
Mom, I don't know if you want to come back, but that'd be great to just let mamas do it.
And Maul confirmed from the Joe Budden podcast, so he's going to be in the building.
XD and Jade. Jade
and XD. And then we just got all of our past guests who live in New York that are going
to
drop by.
Stage. They're just going to be coming be in to the support. Building. We are getting hosted by Sam Whiteout. He's super excited.
So check us out. Again, you guys can find the ticket links in our bios, and I'm sure all over my Twitter page by now. So go ahead and check it out. Come see us December 1st, New York City. We're actually signing out. So you want to say bye to the folks, Mammy?
Bye.
Bye, y'all.